Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's going on, Dr. Dre?
You know what? The time is now, Robert Ford. Here we go. You know what that sound is, folks?
Oh, yeah.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me.
I love it, Rob Ford, man. You got to
yeah.
Up, man. Talking sports with the 12th man. Welcome once again. Today is Wednesday, February the 22nd. Yours truly, Andre Peterson with Robert Ford. Got a lot of things to talk about, man. Excited. As always, you know the drill. I'm here to set the table. Talking about a lot of stuff, man. Jeremy Lin. Lin Sanity. I know everyone's getting tired of it. We gotta talk about it too, since we're only doing the show once a week. But we're gonna talk about Jeremy Lin and of course how he stacks up against the elite point guards in the league. Very excited to hear about that. Also we're gonna touch base on the top five candidates to land Peyton Manning. Obviously that's a big topic in the news. We're also gonna discuss, we're very excited to unveil Robert Ford's mock draft. This is 2.0. And who is the NBA's most valuable player thus far? So Robert Ford, how you doing? You all right? Ready to get started?
Doing great. What's happening, Dr. Dre?
It's a beautiful day, man.
Let's make this thing happen.
Real quick, for those who want to call into the show, the number once again is 424-243-9519. As always, and also don't forget to follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. And all that fun stuff. But let's get started, Rob. Let's jump into this. Jeremy Lin, how do you stack up against the elite point guards? What's your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, I will say this. You know, I think the Knicks have really found a player to help their ball club. And, you know, I think the Knicks can. They have an opportunity to be a tough out come playoff time. I know they got a big win. I know you may not want to talk about it against your Hawks tonight. And I'm interested to see how well they play against the Miami Heat tomorrow night as well. That could be a good measuring stick for the New York Knicks. But since Lin has taken over as a starting point guard, they've only lost two games. They lost one to my New Orleans Hornets, surprisingly, last Friday night. And they lost one here on Monday night to the New Jersey Nets and Deron Williams, which kind of led us to this topic. How well does Lin match up against elite point guards? And you saw Deron Williams just had his way with them on Monday night. So I'm kind of interested. I know Miami Heat don't really have an elite point guard tomorrow night, but I'm kind of interested to see, you know, if they put Dwayne Wade on him defensively. And I'm kind of waiting to see how well he goes up against players like Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, and Derrick Rose as well. But there's no doubt he's definitely brought a lot of excitement to this Knicks team. And he's scoring the ball, he's shooting the ball, he's distributing the ball. But there's two areas where he's going to have to improve. He's going to have to improve defensively, and he's going to have to cut down his turnovers. And I've said this numerous times, the difference, the reason why Chris Paul sets the bar at point guard is just that his turnover, his assist-to-turnover ratio is just unbelievable. And, you know, he'll have 10, 11 assists to one turnover. And Lin is averaging about 6-7 turnovers a game. If he's going to get up to that elite status, that's one of the main categories that he's going to have to improve. He's got to cut down on his turnovers. But the excitement that he's bringing to the game and the interest that he's bringing to basketball, like I said last week, the NBA is definitely ecstatic about that.
Yeah, I mean, I concur. And the thing is, you know, I think that has to do with him not really getting a lot of playing time. And I do think his turnovers will actually get cut down. He's been thrust into the limelight amazingly. And I just give him credit for actually having his composure. You know, like I said, he's only been, you know, obviously he's been playing a lot, but he's only been in the league, like, this is his second year in the league. So for him to be able to do what he's done, I definitely give him a lot of credit. He's definitely, like you said, just as he gets more of a better feel for the game, hopefully he'll cut those turnovers down. And no one's saying that he's an elite point guard just yet, obviously. But, you know, what he's doing is definitely amazing. And, you know, as you talked about last week, as far as the global impact that he's had in China and Asia, and this is kind of one of the situations, too, where, you know, we always talk about maybe being a global game. You're gonna have kids that are Asian kids or Chinese kids that are going to look up to Lin and say, this is who I want to be. So you talk about the impact that he's making. It's definitely amazing.
Yeah. You know, just think about the phenomenon that is happening in New York City right now. I mean, we're talking about the global and the impact in Asia, but the impact, I mean, you just got to realize that New York Giants won the Super Bowl a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, and they had a ticker tape parade, and you would think the city would still be celebrating the New York Giants, and maybe a few days later, the Jeremy Lin phenomenon kicks off. I mean, it's unbelievable. And, I mean, I can remember here when the Saints here won the Super Bowl a few years ago. I mean, that phenomenon lasted all the way to the summer here in New Orleans. And, I mean, but already the Eli Manning and New York Giants Super Bowl championship is forgotten in New York. I mean, it's all about Jeremy Lin. It's unbelievable what's happening, the way he's just electrified that city right now.
Yes, definitely a thought. And like I said, I'm good to see, you know, I was watching the game, very disappointed. The Hawks don't have the same effort for some reason. They just don't seem to, I don't know, we're kind of like lost right now. But, you know, it's good to see him and Carmelo play well. And, you know, like I said, it's definitely good for the NBA, for the Knicks to do well. I'm sure David Stern is happy as well, too. But that's a whole other story altogether. But, I digress. So anything else you want to talk about as we wrap this up or anything else you want to wrap up on?
Yeah, anybody out there has some comments on Jeremy Lin, once again, feel free to call in and give us your comments, 424-243-9519. Let us know what you all think about Jeremy Lin. How does he stack up against the other elite point guards in the league? And but we're going to move on to another topic, but still feel free to call in and discuss it. And what's the next topic we have on agenda here, Dre? Peyton Manning?
The top five candidates to land Peyton Manning. So, I'll kind of start off. I'll give one or two teams here because and kind of get your thoughts. There's a sleeper team in here that I have, and obviously my top five includes Miami, the Jets, San Francisco. I'm not 100% sold on the Redskins, but I'll put them in there in addition to a sleeper team of Seattle, if you will. So that's who I have as far as the top five. And the reason why I say not Miami number one is because I think Joe Philbin is a big quarterback guy, formerly from the Packers. So I'm going to give them the nod. But what do you think as far as, you know, some possible landing places? And I'm sure, you know, this is going to be an interesting topic as things start going on, as we start getting closer past the combine and the draft.
Okay. I'm going to do a backwards countdown on my top five. Who I'm going to start off with number five and work my way up to number one on where I think Peyton Manning could wind up. I think number five on my list is Arizona. And I still think this is a long shot because I still think they want to give Kevin Cobb every opportunity to take over that quarterback position after giving him the kind of money they gave him on last year. But I know there are some rumors that Arizona may give him a look, but I just kind of personally believe that it's still somewhat of a long shot for him to wind up in Arizona. Number four on my list is the Seattle Seahawks. And I think Seattle is a legitimate playoff contender with the quarterback. And I just don't think Tavares Jackson is the answer. And it doesn't look like the draft is shaping up for them to get a good quarterback. And, you know, unless they reach for some guys, and we could talk about, you know, my mock draft in a little while, but it doesn't seem like the draft is shaping up for them to get an elite quarterback. I know, and there's still the Matt Flynn possibility, but I think Seattle is one of those teams that's right on the verge to competing with the 49ers in that NFC West with better quarterback play. And so they could be an outside contender for Peyton Manning as well. Number three on the list is Kansas City. And, I'm going to Kansas City. I know they have Matt Castle, but he's been injury prone. And you know, as you saw last year, they had, you know, some up and down quarterback play as well. They're another team I'm going to say is an outside contender. You know, Joe Montana, he left the 49ers to end his career with the Chiefs that year. So they're the number three team on the list. Number two, the Washington Redskins. I have them number two on the list, and I think the Redskins are going to be a team. I just kind of feel like that they will be the team that either will get Peyton Manning, and if they don't get Peyton Manning, I think that's where Matt Flynn is going to wind up going. That's just a gut feeling of mine. I think they are going to wind up getting a quarterback and not have to settle for one in the draft. But number one, I just feel like the Miami Dolphins is where Peyton Manning is going to land up. I mean, they have Reggie Bush, they have Brandon Marshall, and they got a great opportunity to build a great offensive line. I have them taking Riley Reiff, offensive tackle from Iowa in the first round, pair him with Jake Long. They could be set at the left and right tackle position for years to come. So this is I kind of feel like this is where Peyton Manning is going to wind up. And I would say Cleveland is on his list, but I kind of feel like Cleveland has the best opportunity to get Robert Griffin III. And I have Indy taking him one, and I have Robert Griffin III going to Cleveland with the fourth pick. So I think Cleveland may settle on just getting a quarterback for the future in the draft, as opposed to trying to get into Peyton Manning sweepstakes.
Yeah, definitely those picks. And the reason why I kind of agree with you, too, because you got to look at the teams, and certain teams have certain identities. And, you know, with Miami, like you said, if they kind of build the draft, get that offensive line squared away, and they pretty much have all the weapons, maybe one or two wide receivers later on, and then you get Peyton working with those guys, that's kind of like an instant obviously upgrade for the Dolphins. The only other team that could possibly be even better is the San Francisco 49ers because they have that defense. And, you know, I'm not sure for the Redskins because I know the Redskins have more of a different style. I don't know if they have more of a vertical passing game. I know they lean heavily on that zone blocking system. So that could be a fit too. I agree with you. I think that's definitely a target for Matt Flynn if I'm the Redskins, if I get into that Peyton Manning sweepstakes. Seattle is kind of one of those teams that they're kind of an enigma. You really don't know what the deal is with them. If I'm Charlie Whitehorse, I think he's – I don't know why he can't see the field. I don't know why he's not better than Tavares Jackson. I don't know what's going on. But I'm not sure what to think about them because you can definitely see the problem with them is at the quarterback play. And, obviously they're starting to get some weapons. They have a good running game with Marshawn Lynch. I think they have a pretty solid defense. So not sure what the problem is with that. So – that's an enigma team. And I agree with you in Arizona, even though, they've invested a lot of money in Kevin Cobb. And unless they want to cut bait with him, I don't know if they still think he's the answer. I do think they'll give him one more shot and then let's see what goes on. Maybe they'll get a shot next year at Eric Barkley or Matt Barkley, excuse me, and see how he can play with that. But, you know, it's just one of those situations, too, where if you're a team, do you want to keep, lynching or attaching your wagon to a young guy or what. So, it's definitely more or less for the short term if I'm the Dolphins, but I think that's the best, possibility for them. And I'm pretty, I think that's a surprise pick with Kansas City, too. I don't know, like I said, Matt Castle was a little injury prone, but that's kind of a curious pick, too. So we'll see what happens, and we have a couple weeks to see how everything plays out.
Yeah, I mean, I just still feel like he's not going to be with the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, that's just my gut. And, I know there's been some rumors to whereas Peyton is considering working with the Colts on giving them a, working out a contract arrangement with them so they won't have to pay him a $28 million bonus. So that's going to be interesting to see. But I know one thing, the Colts will not give him his $28 million bonus. I mean, that's not going to happen. If they can't work out a contract agreement, I mean, he's going to get cut. And I still don't believe he's going to be back with the Colts. It just seems like Jim Irsay and Peyton Manning is having odds with one another, and I think they're going to go in separate directions here.
I agree with you big time. So it's definitely, at this juncture, if I'm Peyton, then it's probably probably for the best. They're changing up the whole everything, and it's just time. I think so. We'll see how that plays out. Wow. All right. Well, once again, for those who want to call in, the number And, you know, we have a lot of options that you can get in touch with us. We have 424-243-9519. That is toll-free. And also, don't forget to check us out. Tweet us at 12 Man Sports. And Facebook, we're there as well, too. So without further ado, we are ready to unveil Robert's mock draft. This is 2.0. Rob Ford jumped to the eye. Literally, I just posted this to Facebook, too. So for those that are following us on Facebook, this is actually just now on the Facebook page, too. So, you know, I don't think there's anything that changed. Do you have any surprises, you think? I know we kind of sent some pre-stuff out, and some people didn't think that Justin Blackmon was worth that number two pick. Tell me your thoughts about this, and are there any surprises that you think that may go down?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, we're still 2 months away from the draft, and there's a lot that's obviously going to change between now and the draft date. We still have the combine. We still have free agency, so teams' needs are going to adjust. Players are going to move up, and they're going to move down up the board, basically, you know. But this, you know, just kind of for fun purposes, you know, all of the draft experts do this with their mock drafts and things like that. There'll be, you know, I'll probably have a new one in another week or two right after the combine as we see players move up and down the board. So it's just kind of fun. So anybody want to know your favorite teams, who I have them picking? I have mock drafts all the way through four rounds. And so definitely call in, and I can give you who I think your teams are going to be taking. Or if there's a specific player you want to know where I have them going in the draft, definitely call in. But, yes, I mean, the Justin Blackmon, that's probably one of the changes I had from my first mock. In my first mock, I had him going number three to Minnesota, and I just kind of felt like that Jeff Fisher maybe will go with Khalil at number two. And, you know, he's more of a guy, a head coach that likes to build a team from within the trenches. But after really thinking about it, St. Louis just needs offensive weapons on that team. They're really lacking with weapons. So I have Blackmon at number two as we speak. And I definitely feel like he's a top five guy. And, I mean, there are a lot of rumors that Cleveland is going to trade up to number two and take Robert Griffin III. St. Louis would drop number four, and they probably can still pick Justin Blackmon and pick him an additional pick in the later part of the first round, the pick that Cleveland acquired from Atlanta. And so, I mean, there's a lot of rumors to that.
Why do you think that the Browns are, or that you said this is the Browns that are moving up two spots, if you will?
Yeah, there's a possibility that Cleveland, to assure that nobody else tries to come in and move up ahead of Cleveland, Cleveland may move up to number two to take Robert Griffin III. And I know a lot of people are like, well, you know, if they just stand pat, they still should be able to get to Robert Griffin III. But that would open the door for another team to come in and possibly move up to number two ahead of them. So, and Cleveland has some ammunition. They got an additional first-round pick that they acquired from Atlanta in the Julio Jones trade last year.
Don't keep reminding me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, wow. Well, you got a great player in that pick.
Yeah.
And so there's some possibilities that St. Louis can even drop down to number four and still get Justin Blackmon. But Minnesota is hoping that St. Louis takes Justin Blackmon at number two. Minnesota definitely wants Matt Khalil at that number three pick. And it's basically going to come down to those two players who St. Louis will pick at number two if no trade takes place. But I know my first mock, I had him taking Khalil. On this one, I got him taking Blackmon. And I even have St. Louis taking Cody, tight end from Stanford in the second round to get another weapon, Cody Fleener. That will give Sam Bradford a quality wide receiver and a good tight end to give them some weapons in their offense, which they desperately need. Because outside of Steven Jackson and Brandon Lloyd is a free agent, they don't really have any weapons on that team. And if you really look at statistically, the Rams last season was the top 10 in a lot of defensive categories. And so, I mean, if they can somehow put together a quality offense, I mean, they got Jeff Fisher, the Greg Williams now to help improve that defense even more. This is a team, if they can get some weapons in another year or two, could be a threat, similar to where Detroit has made improvements with Matthew Stafford.
Wow. You know, it's interesting, real quick, and not to go back in time, but I just got a tweet that somebody said that Peyton Manning may go, might wind up in Denver. I don't know about that one, but that's kind of like an interesting, wow, interesting, sir. Anyway.
Yeah, well, I don't necessarily see that happening. I think Denver is going to draft a quarterback or two or bring one in free agency? Yes, but it won't be the Peyton Manning kind of quarterback, caliber quarterback. I think they want to see what they can get out of Tebow, and I think Tebow goes in the next season as a starter for Denver next season. But I do have Denver drafting a quarterback in the second round, and I had them taking Brandon Wheaton, quarterback from Oklahoma State, in the second round. As of right now, Denver only has one quarterback under contract, so they're going to probably draft one, and they're probably going to sign one, and so they're going to have some guys compete with him in camp. But I see Brandon Wheaton as a guy that they can pick up in the second round. Probably won't start, but he'll be a guy that can push Tebow some.
Gotcha. Now, I love the mock draft, too, real quick, because I like your picks here. Now, this is an interesting thing. You got Trent Richardson going from Alabama going to Washington at number 6. This is all contingent upon, obviously, what happens with Washington if they get the quarterback in the free agency. If, for some reason, Washington gets the quarterback, or they don't get the quarterback, let's take a different route. No matter what happens, you think they're still going to get Trent Richardson at number 6? No matter what happens, even if they don't get the quarterback?
Well, I mean, the only at number 6, if Robert Griffin III is already picked ahead of him, I mean, there's not a quarterback that's worth picking at that slot. I mean, they could reach for Ryan Tannehill. He's the third best quarterback in this draft. And or they can trade down and try to get him. There's a lot of possibilities. But, you know, of course, this mock draft is based on where the teams are currently picking. And as of right now, they was to stand pat. I mean, Trent Richardson is a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run between the tackles. He can bounce it to the outside, as well as he can pick up blocks. I mean, you're talking about a versatile all-around back. And, I know Shanahan hasn't drafted many running backs in the first round, but this kid will be kind of hard to pass up. I mean, the Redskins could trade up and get Robert Griffin III. They could sign Peyton Manning. They could sign Matt Flynn. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities that they have. But as of right now, based on where they're picking, I would say Trent Richardson will be that guy if this draft order stays the same.
Gotcha. I noticed you got like a lot of quarterback, backfield, secondary players going. Is that due to, you think, of a lot of the explosion on offense that's been going on here, or just because we got like a lot of good players out there?
Yeah, it's definitely for a long time the NFL was a run first, pass second league, but right now it's a pass first, run second league, and so a lot of teams are developing dynamite passing games, multiple sets, trips formations, 3 and 4 wide receivers, and so you have to have. You have to have 3 quality cornerbacks in this league today to be competitive on defense. And it's almost like you don't have 2 starting corners anymore. You have to have 3. And so you have a lot of guys in this draft. I mean, you look at Morris Claiborne, it's the best corner in the draft out of LSU. I have him going number 5 to Tampa Bay right now. And Tampa Bay just hired LSU's defensive back coach to be their defensive back coach. So, you know, he's going to go in that war room and he's going to make a huge sales pitch to draft Morris Claiborne at number 5. And Drake Kilpatrick, you know, I think he's going to slide down as being the number 3 corner. There's some character issues that are concerned. Janoris Jenkins also has some character issues, but I think Jenkins is a pure cover corner. And I can see the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones, going after him at 14, and I have Drake Kilpatrick, the 3rd-ranked corner in the draft, going to Cincinnati at number 21. Another team who's usually willing to take guys with some character concerns.
Gotcha. Like you said, I love the mock draft. 2 great picks here. I'm going to highlight one more person, if you will, and that person I'm looking at is Alshon Jeffrey, the wide receiver from South Carolina. It's interesting because if you're just tuning in, just found out that the Packers have re-signed Jermichael Finley to a 2-year deal, about $14 million. I want to say about $14 million, if I'm right. So they solidify that. Alshon, if you will, I know everyone's going to be keeping a time on him at the combine because he's a big physical target. But it looks like if this is what you're picking or this is what you're looking at, it looks like he may be replacing Donald Driver, but they just keep on adding on the offensive side. So kind of curious to hear your thoughts about that pick.
Yeah, well, this pick, of course, was twofold. I mean, there's questions about Donald Driver's age, and there's also, at the time of this mock draft, there was a question of whether or not they were going to be able to re-sign the tight end there. But obviously that just got done today. But even with that re-signing of Jermichael Finley, you're still going to have to replace Donald Driver at some point. And he just gives a – and I always have the philosophy that if you ever great on one side of the ball, you got to keep it great. And so, for example, if Green Bay is so great on offense, you got to keep adding weapons to keep it great. I mean, Baltimore won a Super Bowl in 2000 with a great defense, and they've had a great defense every year. So once you're great on one side of the ball, you got to do it whatever you can to keep that side of the ball great to be competitive. Same thing with the New Orleans Saints. I mean, they've had great offense for the last 6 years. You have to keep it great. You have to keep adding pieces to it. That's why you go out and get a guy like a Jimmy Graham. You keep adding pieces to that side of the ball, that whatever side of the ball that you're great on. And Green Bay will probably have to do the same thing. And what costs Green Bay down the stretch is they lack quality depth along the offensive line. And they lost against a couple of guys due to injuries. And even if you look at this mock draft, I have the Green Bay addressing some depth on offensive line in these second and fourth rounds in this draft. And that's what kind of cost them, definitely cost them against the Giants. They could not protect Aaron Rodgers.
So a question I have, too, and maybe this is something that they're going to look at in free agency, but what do you think about the quarterback position? Because obviously they're going to lose Matt Flynn, and, you know, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, but do you think they're going to do anything to solidify that backup quarterback? Are they going to get, like, a veteran guy, you think, or are they going to draft another young player? Or what are your thoughts on that? And this is a question that I'm getting as well, so I want to get your thoughts on
that.
Well,
I had my fourth-round mock draft. I have Green Bay taking the tight end from Louisiana Lafayette, Ladarius Green. And on the very next pick, I have Buffalo taking B.J. Coleman, the quarterback from Chattanooga. And I had put a lot of thought into that. They're going to probably need this quarterback to develop, you know, since they're probably going to lose Matt Flynn. Probably when I go back and redo this draft, I will probably change that pick since they re-signed Jermichael Finley today. I probably would not have them taking Ladarius Green, tight end from Louisiana Lafayette in the fourth round. I probably would flip-flop those picks, and B.J. Coleman, the quarterback for Chattanooga in the fourth round, would probably be picked by Green Bay. And he's about a 600, 200-pound, multi-dimensional quarterback. You know, a lot of people don't know about him, but he, you know, playing at a smaller school, but he's definitely a quarterback that Mike McCarthy can develop into a solid backup.
Gotcha. And we have a two-minute warning, Robert, just to give you a little heads up, too. Time always flies, man. Once again, for those that are listening in, I want to call in. Obviously, check us out, 424-243-9519. And also, don't forget to check us out, Twitter, all that fun stuff, at 12th Man Sports as well. But as we start to wrap up, Rob, you know, I think this is great. We got about 90 seconds. Maybe we'll talk about the MVP for the NBA in our post segment, and maybe we'll talk about that next week too. But good draft, and you know, obviously being a Falcon fan, I noticed that your second round pick, and you keep, you know, rubbing it in about how we lost that pick for Julio, and we're okay with it, but still, us giving up that many picks, we were hoping that we were one player away. So I know she got her getting Zerby Sanders, offensive tackle for Florida State. And kind of interesting because we can go a lot of different areas. We can go defensive end. We can go guard at this pick or the best player available. Maybe Brandon Boykins. I don't know kind of what your thoughts is. We kind of wrap up the – what are your thoughts about us possibly getting this guy from Florida State?
Yeah. Well, in my third round, Mark, I have Atlanta taking Billy Wynn, defensive end from Boise State. He's a pretty big kid, about 6'4", 6'5", 290 pounds. You know, could probably slide in on passing downs and even play some defensive tackle as well. But the kid from Florida State, yes, you know, as you being a Falcon fan, you know the Falcons are going to have to improve their offensive line. On my very next pick, I have Pittsburgh taking the offensive guard from Iowa State, Alishi Ashimil.
Join us next week, guys. It's time to wrap it up. But listen to the postgame, guys, and we'll see you next week. Same time, same channel.
Good night, people.
We're off. Finish up the conversation, Rob, as we're still keeping the show here.
Yes, after Zabree Sanders, the very next pick in the mock draft, I have Pittsburgh taking Kalishi Ashamel, offensive guard from Iowa State. So, I mean, there is a couple of offensive linemen that I'm projecting to be on the board right there. I have Brandon Boykins dropping down in the third round now. I have him going in the early part of the third round to Washington at number 70, the sixth pick of the third round. So I have him dropping. So I am projecting him to be on the board when the Falcons do pick this well. But I think right there you're looking at a guy like Bree Sanders, a guy that you can – I don't know if you want to keep Tyson Clabo at right tackle or if you want to move him to left tackle since he's a better tackle. And Bree Sanders is probably a guy that can come in and start right away on the right tackle position.
Very interesting, too, because, I was reading something today that they're not going to quite give up just yet on Sam Baker. Obviously, we got Pat Hill, new offensive line coach from Fresno State, and so they're going to try to see what he can do. They're not going to give up on him, which is another part of being a number four in our first-round draft pick. So I think we're going to keep Clabo at right tackle, maybe use Wilson Zetech as kind of backup. I don't know if we're going to move them to guard, but they're definitely going to kind of reevaluate some things right now, too. So, obviously, like everyone else, we got a lot of needs. And if you're looking at the Falcons, we got to build up that offensive line. We got to protect Matt Ryan, obviously, and see what we can do. Interesting that you have the Saints picking, you got them taking a linebacker. You got Bobby Wagner from Utah State. You're thinking about Vilma leaving and Julian. Jolin Dunbar is a free agent. So kind of tell for Saints fans, what do you think about that as well?
Well, I think there is a possibility. The Saints have some major free agents. And, of course, number one, Drew Brees. You got to pay him a lot of money. And you have another guy in Carl Nix, who's a major free agent as well, who's probably going to be due a lot of money. You have Marcus Colston, a guy who's probably worthy of another big paycheck. So I think from the Saints situation right now, you're looking at your roster and you're looking at guys that maybe have big paychecks but are not performing at that level. And Vilma last season had a lot of injuries, and when Jolin Dunbar started in this place, he probably performed just as well. So you're probably looking at Vilma as a possibility, as a cap casualty. And Vilma and Dunbar is a free agent. So I think they would like to bring Dunbar back at a reasonable price. But I would say if there's anybody on the team that could be a cap casualty, I think Vilma would be the number one guy they can probably look at, unless they can work out a pay cut with them kind of thing. And so that's why I'm kind of thinking Bobby Wagner. And even if you do keep Vilma and Dunbar, the Saints still need some more linebackers. And so Bobby Wagner is a guy that can probably play all three positions. He's not that tall. He's about 6 feet or 6'1", but he's got good size, about 249, and he runs well. He can play all three linebacker positions. You can play him in the middle, strong side, or on the weak side. And he's that versatile. Played at Utah State, which is not a major football factory, but NFL scouts are definitely aware of this kid.
Good stuff. Obviously, we got a lot of time before the draft. There's a lot of things that can change, but definitely excited that you were able to put this mock draft together. So good job, and we're four rounds in, so still got a lot of time to make some changes. But I'm sure it's always good to compare and see how everything actually plays out too. So very exciting. Switching gears real quick, I want to get your thoughts on who do you think the NBA's most valuable player should be right about now. My vote, if I'm giving a vote right now, it's going to be Kevin Durant. I think he's tearing it up right now. He's going to hold off a furious charity win, but it's too early right now. But I'm thinking that Jeremy Lin is a good story too. But I think Kevin Durant, they're on a mission. Him and Russell Westbrook playing well, and obviously he's coming over his 51-point performance too. So that's my vote right now. It may be tough with LeBron up there, too. I'm doing this thing, but that's who I think is going to be a consideration this year. What about your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to actually agree with you. Right now, my vote will have to be for Kevin Durant as well. Oklahoma City's having the best record in the Western Conference. And I know LeBron James is a close second, but I know LeBron James has 2 or 3 MVPs already. And I think from LeBron's standpoint, I'm just kind of waiting on him to win the championship right now. That's just kind of, even though the MVP award is based on regular season's performance, you know, just kind of at this point with him where you want to see him win a championship. And but Kevin Durant right now is definitely will be my vote. I would definitely put LeBron James number 2 and Chris Paul number 3 at this point in my MVP voting. But I totally agree that Kevin Durant is the guy that's as of right now, is the my pick for most valuable player thus far in the NFL. I'm sorry, NBA.
Gotcha. Yeah, like I said, obviously we'll touch base on maybe the Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, little things, comeback players and stuff like that. Obviously, the NBA All-Star Game is upon us. If you didn't know, unfortunately, Joe Johnson's not going to get a chance to play. He's got a tendonitis in his knee. And so, obviously, Rajon Rondo is taking his place. And that's another reason why I'm not a fan of David Stern, because you would think he'd get an opportunity to make things right with Josh Smith. But no, he adds Rajon Rondo, which, you know, I can't be mad. But I was hoping that, he was going to let Josh Smith play that too. But,
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, there's a possibility Derrick Rose may not play if his back spasms are still bothering him. So that could be another guy that may have to get replaced in his All-Star game. And you have to see if maybe he promotes a guy like Josh Smith. And I'm with you on that one. I believe Josh Smith, as I said last week, is a stat sheet stuffer and definitely worthy of being an All-Star player.
Unbelievable, man. But yeah, anyway, like I said, so a lot of things going on, obviously, in the league, and we're kind of curious to see what happens over the weekend. Obviously, Jason Lynn, or I don't know why I keep saying that, Jeremy Lin got added to the sophomores and rookies game. You were telling me that before last week. Is that
yes.
Is that for
yes.
sure? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so he will compete in the sophomores rookie game. So I think the NBA is trying to do everything they can to give him as much exposure as possible with the excitement that he's generating. So they want to put him on display this weekend.
Yeah, like I said, it's gonna be good. You know, obviously we were really concerned about getting some new blood in there. And you're right, it's only been a couple weeks that Jeremy Lin has had a chance to make an impact. So I don't think he's quite ready for that All-Star just yet. But
I'm not excited, not yet.
It's just too early. But, you know, he's playing well, and that's fine. You can tell he's got, like, a lot of confidence right now, too. And
exactly.
I'm curious, maybe next week we'll hear from our West Coast fans because, you know, whenever you see Jeremy, and I know my father-in-law is a big Golden State fan, and I was asking him about that, and his thoughts were that they had too many guards at the time whenever they had Curry, they had Monta Ellis, they had a couple of guards, and they just didn't have enough room for Jeremy Lin. So you think that's a surprise that they couldn't make room to add a guy that's this dynamic, because I don't care. A good player is a good player, you know?
I tell you what, I mean, I was having the same discussion with someone very recently about, you know, how did Golden State let this guy go? And I was like, well, Golden State has Stephon Curry and Monta Ellis. And even with this Lin phenomenon, I still don't believe he's better than Stephon Curry. And, you know, and I wouldn't even put him over Stephon Curry. I mean, I believe that the Knicks are getting a tremendous player. But I don't think you can blame Golden State. And plus, Stephon Curry was a first-round pick. You're paying the monies in the first-round pick kind of player. But I still would not put him in the category of a Stephon Curry. I would put him slightly beneath him. And I don't think you can really blame Golden. Could you have kept Lin as a backup? Possibly. But if the guy turns out to be playing as good as he is now, eventually another team is going to find him as a starter.
So do you think it's more or less like the system that makes him good as opposed to maybe, Dan Antonio's system kind of fits him to a T versus what was going on in Golden State or even what was going on in Houston, you think, or what?
Well, once again, I mean, I think what he's doing, I think I guess the one thing you have to give Mike D'Antoni credit is for is he saw something in the player maybe some other coaches did not. And I think, and I hate to say this, but I think to some degree, you know, there's never been a guy of Chinese and Taiwanese descent that has been a starting point guard on the NBA team before. I mean, you got to look at this guy's history. He didn't get any scholarship offers out of high school. He went to Harvard, and so he had all of those things working against him. Golden State has guys like Stephon Curry and Monte Ellis, and I don't think in any system he's better than Stephon Curry. That's just my personal belief. He's not as good as Stephon Curry. And so I don't think you can blame Golden State. I think, you know, he's playing in New York. He's better than what New York had. There's no doubt about it. Is he better than half the point guards in the NBA? Yes. But
wow.
He's not better than Stephon Curry. He's not better than Chris Paul. He's not better than Darren Williams. He's not better than Derrick Rose. He's not better than Russell Westbrook.
Wow. Robert Ford has spoken. You know, I'm kind of torn on this because it's tough to kind of evaluate. I mean, I definitely, you know, I'm not saying he's Tebow-like. I mean, I just feel that from watching, I mean, this guy hasn't crumbled under the moment. I mean, here is a situation where he's playing with so much confidence, and he's scored, you know. He feels like I can get to the rim, I can do what I have to do. I got to cut down my turnovers. He's learning. He's only been in the league for a little while, and for teams that are gunning, we're not really gunning for him, but, you know, everyone knows about him now. It's not like he's like a secret player, and he's still producing. So, you know, like I said, I'm not saying he's an elite point guard, but I am saying that, you know, I think he definitely belongs. And like you said, the Knicks got some teams, they just get lucky. I mean, they got extremely lucky. They have a guy just to be on your end. It's like, here you go. Let's see what you can do, guy. And now he's taking the opportunity like a Kurt Warner, like a Tom Brady, just taking advantage of a system. Somebody's getting hurt, and he's really made a name for himself too. So, you know, like I said, I'm definitely sold.
Oh.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm talking.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I am thoroughly impressed with his play, but I would probably rank him somewhere as the sixth or seventh best point guard in the league.
But that's still
better than most of the point guards in the league. So that's not a knock on Jeremy Lin at all. But I just think there's some guys. I think I still would like to see him high performs against some of the elite point guards. But yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, the guy is performing under pressure. He's knocking down big shots. He's playing flawless. I mean, he's not scared of the moment. And the moment is not too big for him. And so he's not cracking under pressure. Is he making mistakes here and there? Yes. But he's not cracking under pressure. He's playing hard. He's hitting big shots. And there's no doubt about it. I would, I don't have my complete point guard ranking in front of me, but just off the top of my head, I would think he's somewhere around sixth or seventh in the league. But I still don't think you can blame Golden State for releasing him. And even Houston, I mean, Kyle Lowry is playing tremendous basketball this season. Unbelievable basketball. And I'm not even sure that Lin is even playing on his level just yet. But Kyle Lowry is playing unbelievable. And so those are two teams that were getting some very good guard play that he had to go through. And like I say, I just think D'Antoni is – the one thing about D'Antoni, he worked with Steve Nash. So I think he can recognize what a player's strengths are, and I think he just saw something in Jeremy Lin. And I think he's finally got it with the right coach that saw his abilities and did not see a player of Chinese and Taiwanese descent.
Wow, good stuff, good stuff. Well, like I said, we've got about 50 seconds here. So, as always, people that are listening in to the show, we want to thank you guys for tuning in. Don't forget to check us out at the same time, same channel, Wednesdays at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Western, and for Hawaii, 6 o'clock as well. So, Rob, do you have anything to say as we kind of wrap up the show here?
Join us next Wednesday. We're looking forward to talking some more sports. We'll kind of recap the combine, maybe get into a little bit more draft talk, and we'll be a step closer to NFL free agency.
good day. Thanks, guys, and we'll see you next week. Talking Sports with the 12th Man, and we are signing out. Thanks, guys.
Good night, people. All right.